In fact, he had only been stunned. But the Quraysh did not bother to check the rumour and failed to follow up their advantage. The Muslim survivors were thus able to retreat in fairly good order. 22 Meccans and 65 Muslims had been killed, including Muhammad's uncle Hamza, a renowned fighter. The Quraysh ran onto the battlefield and mutilated the corpses. One of them cut out Hamza's liver and carried the gruesome trophy to Hind, who ate a morsel of it to avenge her brother, who had died by Hamza's hand at Badr. She then cut off his nose, ears and genitals, urging the other women to follow her example. And to the disgust of some of their Bedouin allies, they left the field sporting grisly bracelets, pendants and collars. Before his army moved off, Abu Sufyan heard the disappointing news that Muhammad had not, after all, been among the casualties. "Next year at Badr," he cried as a parting challenge. "Yes," one of the Muslims shouted on Muhammad's behalf, "it is an appointment between us." The Muslim defeat could have been worse. Had the Quraysh followed up their charge, they could have destroyed the Muslim community. But the psychological impact of Uhud was catastrophic. When Muhammad returned home after the battle, sick and shaken, he heard loud lamentation outside the mosque. It was the wives of the helpers mourning their dead. The Muslims fiercely resented Ibn Ubay's refusal to fight. When he rose to speak in the mosque on the following Friday, one of the helpers grabbed him and told him to keep his mouth shut. He strode from the mosque in fury and refused to ask for Muhammad's forgiveness. Hitherto, the hypocrites, as the Quran calls Ibn Ubay's supporters, had been wavering, waiting to see how things would turn out. Now they became openly hostile. Muhammad's victory at Badr, they claimed, had been a flash in the pan. He had brought death and destruction to Medina. Each of the Muslim dead had left wives and daughters without protectors. After the defeat, a revelation came to Muhammad, giving Muslims permission to take four wives. Muslims must remember that God had created men and women from a single living entity, so that both sexes were equally precious in his sight. Hence, render unto the orphans their possessions, and do not substitute bad things of your own for the good things that belong to them, and do not consume their possessions together with your own. This, verily, is a great crime. And if you have reason to fear that you may not act equitably towards orphans, then marry from among other women such as are lawful to you, even two or three or four. But if you have reason to fear that you might not be able to treat them with equal fairness, then only one, or from among those whom you rightfully possess. This will make it more likely that you will not deviate from the right course.